I wonder this morning how many of us are feeling a bit disappointed. Maybe something that's happened in the week, maybe things haven't gone as well as you hoped they would, or maybe plans that you made didn't work out, or maybe your disappointment goes a bit deeper than that. Maybe someone has let you down and let you down badly, or maybe a job you hoped for hasn't materialised, or maybe a house that you've wanted has fallen through, or maybe this week you're feeling disappointed even with God. Maybe you feel that maybe he's let you down. Maybe that healing that you've been praying for a long time hasn't happened, or maybe that thing that you've been asking him for hasn't happened. Maybe, you know, the baby that you wanted hasn't come. Maybe the child that has gone has gone astray, hasn't come back home. That there are lots of circumstances that can cause us to be disappointed. Sometimes they're big things, but sometimes they're very small things. But whatever the circumstance, if it hasn't turned out how you expected, that can lead us to feeling disappointed. And when I came back off my sabbatical, I spoke about loneliness, and I said, it probably seems a funny thing that, you know, you come back off your sabbatical, and I was thinking, oh yes, we can talk about all these things. And actually, the things that God has been sort of putting on my heart is thinking about things like loneliness, how we deal with that. Because sometimes as a church, we don't always acknowledge the things that we struggle with, do we? We put on our happy faces and we say that God is good and God's in control, and we're saying the right things, but very often we're hiding what we're really feeling and what is really going on in our hearts. And actually, when we do that, we can sometimes almost prevent God being able to work, because he very often works through each other. That it's in as we share and as we're honest and open with each other that God is able to bring words and bring wisdom and to be able to for people to show that love. We were doing our Bible journaling on Friday evening, and one of the verses that we were looking at was talking about how we carry each other's burdens, that we share them, and we do that together. And so, although I'm talking about this and it might seem like a negative thing, actually, it's not a negative thing, because when we keep those things to ourselves, when we sort of push it down and we keep it inside, that sometimes those things can begin to fester and they become a negative thing. And that gives the enemy an opportunity to start to work in our mind, to begin to pull us away from God. So that's why I asked this morning, are you disappointed with something? I'm not talking now about the little things that, you know, we get over, but are you carrying a disappointment this morning? Something that you've sort of, you know about, but you've maybe not acknowledged, maybe not even to God. But actually, to feel that disappointment, it can often lead to other negative things like disillusionment, even depression, as we hold that and we hold it to us. Maybe you've prayed about it. Maybe you've read the scriptures. Maybe you have spoken to someone about it. But maybe things have still not worked out for you. And you wonder, what happens to, you know, it says, ask and you will receive. And maybe you've been asking and you haven't. So to say that to carry disappointment like that is painful is maybe an understatement if you've been living with that for a while. So no matter what the size of it, if you don't deal with those feelings, it can cause you to go into almost like a spiritual depression and despair. We need to let the light of God shine into that and to show it for what it really is. It's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it, when things don't work out how we want them to. Nobody likes it. But we'll all face it at some point in our lifetime. And a definition of disappointment is it's the feeling of sadness or displeasure caused by the defeat of one's hopes and expectations. There's nothing worse, is there, to feel that hope's been taken away, or to feel that those things that you've expected have not turned out how you wanted them to. But actually, You know, sometimes we think, well, maybe we're the only ones that struggle, but thank goodness that God gave us his word, because this was written by ordinary men and women who have recorded what has gone on in their lives, in the history of a nation. And in there, if it was all, you know, wonderful and fantastic, it would be unrealistic. But here we have real people writing about real struggles, real disappointments, things that they've faced, things where they've gone wrong. You know, they've not hidden anything from us. It's all there for us to read. We look at David and we think, what an amazing person. But you read the Psalms and you read what David struggled with. You know, he was angry, he had times of disappointment, he had times when he sinned and he went away from God, but then we have the times when he comes back. And what we learn from looking at these people is how they dealt with it and how God helped them to deal with it, how he stepped in. We have this advantage of being able to read a story from start to finish, but when they were writing, sometimes they were right in the middle of it, they didn't know what the outcome would be. You know, we see God giving promises to someone like Joseph, and then it's years before he sees the fulfillment of that. And you look at all the disappointments that happened, all the things that went on before he actually got to that point. And so we look at that, and we should take encouragement from reading this. You know, it's here for us. God has shown us what he is able to do, even with people's failings, our disappointments, with our expectations. And God shows us that actually whatever those things are for us, his plan is bigger. That he is bigger than even, you know, the greatest hopes and expectations that we can have. God is bigger than that. And God is able to take our disappointments, and he's able to say, well, don't you want to see what I've got for you instead? Don't you want to see why this is happening now? Just hang in with me, wait with me, and I'll show you what my plan is for you. But sometimes when we're in that moment, when we just have that sense of it's all fallen apart, it's not what I expected, it's at that point when we think, well, where's God in this? And often we can blame God for our disappointments. But we look at Jesus, even Jesus experienced disappointments, didn't he? You know, how must he have felt when he said to his disciples, you know, just wait here and pray with me, and he comes back and finds them asleep? Or when he's been arrested and Peter denies him, and he knew it was going to happen. Time and again, you can see, you know, things he tells about the kingdom of God and people reject it, reject him. You know, he understands disappointment. He knows what it feels like. And so we can bring our disappointments to him knowing that he understands. So life may not have turned out how we think it should. In the Bible we see it didn't turn out how people thought it would. They went through many tough times, but they were still able to succeed because God was with them. And we'll face disappointments again. You know, while we're living, we'll face more disappointments. But what's important is how we respond to those disappointments. And it's important to remember, before I say even any more, that God didn't disappoint you. God hasn't disappointed you. Life circumstances may have caused you to feel disappointed. People may have disappointed us. I'm sure I've disappointed lots of people. It's the nature of who we are that sometimes we do stuff, we don't mean to do it, but we disappoint people, we let people down. But when something bad happens in life, when we have those disappointments, it's not a time to blame God, but it's actually a time to run to him and to bring that to him. And sometimes we have to recognise that it's our own poor choices or our unrealistic expectations that have brought about that disappointment, and it's not God. We have to look at ourselves and see that and accept that. You know, in the Old Testament, we see time and time again how the children of Israel just let God down, turned their back on him, walked away, went into idolatry, and all of those things. But you know, God comforted them with these words. In Isaiah 43, he says this: "But now thus saith the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." God promises to protect us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, because we love him. Amen. And he's there for us. So whatever we're facing, he's there with us. And you know that verse, Romans 8:28, when you're in the middle of something, it's the verse you don't want people to quote to you, but actually we need to hear it. And it's this: it's, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." It's a promise from God to us that if we're committed to him, we might not understand what's going on, we might not like what's going on, but he is still in control. And he's working everything out for his good and his glory. And that's a promise. That's a promise to us that we can hold on to, that in the midst of it all, that he is in control and he's going to work those things for good. So Paul tells us that God sometimes uses those circumstances to make us rely more on him. You know, sometimes when things are going really well, we almost get a bit complacent and we forget about God. But I tell you what, the one thing that can really cause us to focus on him is when things start to go wrong. When suddenly we don't know what to do. What's the first thing most, even people that aren't Christians, what's the first thing they do? Call out to God. God, help me. Sometimes God can take our circumstances, the things that are going on, and he can use that for us to focus on him and to rely on him. And we know that Paul, more than anybody, knew that. You know, we read the letters that he wrote to the churches. A lot of the times he was in prison. He suffered all sorts of things, beatings and everything. But he says, you know, these circumstances, these things that happen, help us to rely more on God. We become more dependent on him. So how can we overcome our disappointments? I've got some practical suggestions and I've got some verses. Normally I don't like to flit around and give you lots of verses, but sometimes when you're in that place of disappointment, it's nice to know that, you know, that there is something that God has said, that he's spoken into your situation. So if you want to make a note of these verses, please do. You have got on the back of your sheet a little place that says notes, so you can record them on there if you need to. Okay, so the first thing that I would suggest that we need to do is to believe in God's plan. Do we believe that God has a plan for us? Do we believe that? That he has got something for each one of us, that he knows us. He knew us before we were born. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows us. He knows what our lives are all about. If our God is a miracle worker, if he can part seas, if he can move mountains, if he can heal the sick, if he can raise the dead, can't he do something for us? Can't he change things for us? He can do anything and everything. So our disappointments, our problems in comparison are nothing to him. We have to believe that God has a plan and we need to trust in that plan. He's got things in his hand. He's got us in his hands. And he's looking out for you. He's looking out for me. Amen. He's working out a plan that's bigger than we can even imagine. And in the end, you know, that's going to be the best thing for us. Sometimes we say to God, yes, we give our lives to him, but then we decide that we know best how to run our lives and then wonder why sometimes things don't work out and we feel disappointed. But he does have a plan for our lives. And we have to remember that God sees our lives from the point of eternity. Sometimes we get so consumed with this life, we think this is all there is. We forget that this is just a moment in the grand scheme of things. We need to see things from the point of eternity. And God says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So God has a plan. Can we trust him in it? Yes. Last week, Mark spoke from Jeremiah, and he reminded us of those verses. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And he put them in context for us, didn't he? He said, you know, actually, when those verses were given, the people were in exile. They'd expected that they would go, but they would come back. And the prophetic word was, no, actually, you're not going to be coming back. You've got to stay. You've got to, you know, marry and make families and do all of that. So there must have been disappointment there that they were not coming back. But then God leaves them with this incredible promise. You know, but I'm saying this, but trust me, because I've got plans for you. And they're plans to prosper you. There is a future for you. Might not be the one that you're thinking about, but I have got this. I've got this in hand. I know what I'm doing. Trust me. Sometimes it takes a really painful disappointment to teach us a skill or to strengthen our faith, or to put us in the right place at the right time. How many people have maybe had something happen, and maybe a job that you thought was the best thing, and it's not worked out and you've been disappointed, but then God moves you somewhere else and you suddenly find there was a much better job waiting for you. We don't know God's ways or thoughts, we just have to believe his promise. Second thing, and maybe this is not an obvious one, but sometimes we have to grieve for those things that haven't gone the way that we wanted. You know, sometimes we think, oh, we've just got to deal with it and, as I say, put on this brave face. But sometimes to be really disappointed in something, to have lost something that has brought big disappointment, we have to acknowledge the pain that has brought to us. We have to acknowledge the hurt that has given to us. Sometimes we might need to spend time just mourning over the things that we've lost or that we think that we've lost. Another verse, Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Sometimes that's what it feels like, isn't it, that we've been crushed. And it's okay to recognise that and to be sad and to take time out to deal with that. Do whatever you need to do that releases the sadness and the disappointment and that sense of defeat. But please don't stay there. Please don't stay in that place of defeat, because eventually at some point you need to stop grieving and move on and allow God to move you on. Psalm 30 verse 5, "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning." It's where we have to dust ourselves down and say, God, I don't understand, but I'm choosing to walk with you. I'm choosing to let you deal with this. Number three, maybe this is the very obvious one, we need to pray. Amen. Spend some time talking to God. Tell him your heartache. Tell him about the plans that you had and your disappointments. Maybe ask him to show you why he's taken them away. Tell him how you feel about the fact that you're still sick and you were hoping that he would have healed you, or your broken marriage, or whatever it is. He will have some good in this for you. He will bring you out of this, and there he will bring you into a place where you will experience his goodness. And it's okay to ask him what that good thing is. One man I read about, he said that for him, that things changed when he stopped asking God why things had happened. Why did you do this? Why did that happen? He said when he started asking the Lord, "What now, Lord? What now? What next?" That changed things for him, because instead of focusing on why has that happened, why didn't you do that, why didn't that change, he's now saying, okay, that's is as it is, what now, Lord? What next? What have you got for me? What's the next step? So we need to talk to God, we need to tell him, just like you talk to your friend. We don't have to use fancy words. Sometimes I find myself praying and I'm saying stuff and I catch myself and I think, why am I praying like this? You know, God knows my heart. I try and make it sound nicer than it really is. But actually the truth is, God, that, you know, I'm really angry about this. But I try and make it sound nicer. And I don't know who I'm trying to kid, because, you know, God sees it all. I can't hide anything from Him. I can't pretend. So when we're praying, you don't need to pretend. You just say it like it is, and God understands, and He'd rather that we're honest with Him. I'm reminded of that verse, Psalm 55, verse 22. Give your burdens to the Lord, and He will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. However bad it gets, He won't permit the godly to slip and fall. Who's that? Who are the godly? It's us. You're the godly. You're chasing after God, trying to do the right thing, trying to find a better understanding of Him. He's talking about us. Philippians 4, 6 to 7, another one, one of those favourite verses. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's what He gives us, peace in those situations. Number four, listen and wait. Not very good at that, are we? Especially if it's something that we really, really, really want God to do. To listen and wait is not the easiest thing to do. But when we pray, big things happen. Sometimes it's blessings beyond our expectations. But have you noticed that they often happen later rather than sooner? There's something that happens in the waiting. That God, as we're waiting for things, sometimes it's as we're waiting and as we're praying for things, that sometimes we think, actually, is that really what I want? Is that really what God wants for me? Sometimes as we're waiting, God reveals more things to us. And so the things that we are looking for and expecting become bigger. But that time of listening and waiting, we should never try and rush through that. We need to stop telling God what we think should happen, and we should wait on Him and let Him show us. And sometimes that's something different. And maybe we have to acknowledge in that time that we have had unrealistic expectations or hopes. You know, we all want to do well. We all want to see big things and do big things for God. But sometimes He wants us to do the small things first. He wants us to achieve the little things for Him first. So listen and wait. Number five, search for the good. When we're miserable, when things are bad, when we're in a negative place, the hardest thing that we can do is find something good in the situation. It's easy to see the bad. It's harder to see the good. But one of the worst things that we can do when we've experienced a disappointment is to wallow in self-pity. And I think we have to acknowledge sometimes that that is what we do. And almost there's a bit of pleasure in wallowing in that self-pity and justifying why we're in this place and how terrible someone has been or a situation has been. If we can search for the good, if we can find something that we can grab onto with both hands and celebrate it, even if it's just, you know, Lord, thank you that I've got up this morning and my central heating is working. Or, you know, but find something good that we can focus on. Find and think of the good things that God has done for us. If only, you know, we just sort of think and get up in the morning and thank you, God, that you love me. I mean, what's better than that? That we acknowledge that God loves us. And that in Ephesians, Paul says, Ephesians 5, 19 to 20, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can choose to live in our disappointment, and if we allow it to define who we are, we won't move on, and we can miss the other things, the good things that God has for us. So don't let disappointment become like a shadow over our lives. We'll all face disappointments many times. But God never promised us that it was always going to be good and brilliant. In fact, he said, expect, you're going to have troubles. You know, it's the one thing he said, expect it. You know, don't be surprised when it comes. It's part of living in this fallen world, and, you know, we can't avoid it. But we can know that even if we don't get what we want or think we want, that God is with us. He never forsakes us. He never leaves us. We live in this broken world, but we don't have to be defined by it. We need to know who we are, what God has done for us, that in those disappointments, he is with us. He brings us through them. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We need to learn to put our trust in God and allow him to bring us through those difficult times. So I think it would be good maybe just to take a moment just to pray. Maybe this morning you've come and you've, as I've been speaking, you've been thinking, yeah, that's me. I've been carrying that disappointment and, you know, I've tried to sort of push it away. I've tried to deal with it, but, you know, I'm still feeling that pain. This morning, we're just going to be quiet. I'm not going to ask anybody to put hands up or anything like that, because this is between you and God. I just want you to take a few moments and bring that thing to God. And as we close our eyes, maybe just hold out our hands and almost see that disappointment and hold it out to God and say, you know what, this has been my disappointment, but Lord, I want to know, what now, what next? Help me to move on from this. Help me to deal with this. It might be that you need to put something right with someone. Maybe that disappointment has come about because of something that maybe you've done or said. Maybe as we do this, maybe God is going to challenge you about that. If you want to move on from those things, we need to listen to what he's saying to us. Or it may be this morning that as you hold that out, God says, I'll take that. I'll take that. I've got something better for you. It may be that this morning, as I said, you know, in that verse that we were looking at, that you need to share that burden with someone else. Maybe you just feel, you know what, I know I need to deal with this, but it still feels too big. Talk to someone about it. Get someone to pray with you. Share that burden. So let's just take a few moments now. Oh Lord, we acknowledge that there are times when we feel disappointed with things. There are times when we feel weighed down by those disappointments, and sometimes we don't know how to move on from them. Lord, right now we just want to hold them out before you. And Lord, we just ask, would you come and would you help us? Lord, would you help us to deal with those things? Lord, if there's things that we need to do to put some things right, that you would help us to do that. Lord, if it's things that have been done to us or things that have happened to us, Lord, would you help us? Would you bring healing into those situations? Lord, would you shine your light into our hearts? Lord, we just ask that those, any negative thoughts or any of those dark thoughts that we may have, Lord, that as you shine your light into our hearts, that you would remove them. And Lord, we pray if we have spent too long nursing our disappointments, if we've made them into something to hide behind or an excuse not to move forward, Lord, we pray that you would remove them and you would help us to move forward with you. Lord, we thank you for your promises that you have said that you are with us, that you don't leave us, that you have a plan and a purpose for us. And Lord, where we can't see what that plan or purpose is, Lord, we just ask that you would show us what next. What now, Lord? What is it that you want for us now? Lord, we thank you that as we We place ourselves in your hands. We place ourselves in the safest place. Lord, thank you that you understand our disappointments. You understand the feelings that we have. But Lord, thank you that you don't want to leave us with those feelings, that you want us to be able to live in the good of all that you have done for us. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for all that you have poured out for us. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to start to live in the good of those things. Lord, that we don't just look at what's in front of us, but Lord, we look to the future and we look at what you have planned for us. We look at what you have put in place for us. And Lord, we are glad. Help us, Lord, to find that song in our hearts that we can worship you, that we can find the good in the things that you have done. And we don't look at the little things that haven't worked out for us. But Lord, we look at you. Look at all your goodness. And Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, help us. Lord, help us as we move forward. Help us as we step into the new things that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, that even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, that you lead us on, that you watch over us, that you have a plan and a purpose for us. And Lord, help us just to step into that for each one of us. Lord, we ask it in your name. Amen.